Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from thedraftnetwork.com. We've been talking running backs all week on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. That continues today, Trevor. We put our money where our mouth is, kind of. It's preseason top fives at the running back position. I don't even know that it's really going out on a limb that much because we actually publish our official top tens for preseason in a couple weeks at the Draft Network. So we could easily just change all this in a matter of no time. But if we turns out we don't like our takes.
We always gotta have like an out clause, right? Like that's the whole scouting industry. Like right. The whole scouting industry is just like, oh yeah, well I mean he went to a bad team. Oh yeah, he went to a bad coach. We'll just change our stuff.
Couldn't have known his character. That's what
No, of course not. Anytime we swing and miss, it's there's always equations that we don't get to know and all this,
It is true a lot of the time, but still.
That's why you and I's scouting reports are undefeated. We've never truly been wrong.
Never.
Never.
How many draft analysts can say that? None that I am aware of.
Only one other one that I know.
Who?
It's John Ledyard of thedraftnetwork.com.
Other than yourself.
Of course. Gotcha. Of course.
Gotcha. Understand now. Okay, top five running backs today. And our preseason rankings are also, our rankings from now to like when the actual season is over and the actual draft is here do change a lot. And that might be the one area where actually it's okay that we're covering our butt, because the most important season for these guys is the one still to be played. Where you really play yourself in or out. And I can think of so many players over the years that like just didn't even show up for their final season in college. They'd already peaked. They were where they were, and like nothing good happened their final year, and no growth, and in some ways decline happened, and teams lost interest, and their confidence goes down, and it can become a slippery slope pretty fast. So we are projecting as of now, before the season begins, and our top five running backs, I guess I should try and guess yours, huh?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right. This is really hard because I know two guys that you like, but I don't know that you like many of these guys, and I didn't really too crazy about many of them either.
Gotta hear the five.
Okay. Five for you is Mike Weber. Four is Bryce Love. Three is Damien Harris. Two is Justice Hill, and one is Rodney Anderson.
You're not correct.
But I'm close.
There's only five names, and we studied nine of them this week, so close means that you hit on a more than 50% hit rate.
You can pick
a
guy outside of that, though, if you watched anybody.
I actually thought about putting Mike Weber at five, but he's not five. Bryce Love is actually my five. He's my number five guy. And you and I we talked about this earlier. By the way, so like people who listen to this probably also know that I cover the Buccaneers. That's another thing that I get to do with this Nashville trip, because I'm up in Nashville. They're playing the Titans. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, yeah, all this week we've been talking running backs. In my mind, that happened like years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It's this week, it's just like such a blur. Anyways, speaking of blurs, Bryce Love's.
When you travel, it does feel that way, though.
Yeah. So with Love, I think that he's got nice top end speed.
Mm.
But we talked about this on the episode where we were talking about a bunch of the smaller guys. It's hard to see a lot of translation with guys that just win with that kind of speed in the NCAA, especially when you're playing in a league like either the Big 12 or the Pac-12, where a lot of things are spread out. There's a lot of field that you can find. There's just not a lot of field to find in the NFL. And if the trait that you boast the most is not going to be readily available for you, or is much harder to come by,
fair.
then it kind of limits how useful you can be. So Bryce Love's good. I like him. I just wonder, how many opportunities he's going to get to be the Bryce Love that we see in the NFL.
Okay, that's fair, I think.
Do you want me to just go like all the way down the list? Like,
sure.
Okay. David Montgomery is actually my four.
Okay. I didn't think you'd have him in your top five, but
I debated, and I think the potential with David Montgomery in his final season, like you were saying, could play a big role into that, because you know, I'll let you explain this a little bit better because this was your words. I thought you put it pretty well when we talked about these guys. It's just when he gets outside of the tackles, he just turns into a monster. But you want him to be the monster between the tackles too. And right. he, for whatever reason, he's just kind of not. Yeah. Justice Hill is my three. He's actually my RB3.
I thought you were going to have him two, but okay.
Damian Harris is two, and then Rodney Anderson is one. I like Justice Hill a good amount.
You wrote a piece about him yesterday.
I did. I wrote a piece about him. I wrote one of my my second five-play prospect column is on Justice Hill. I talked about him being a David going into a league full of Goliaths to have a chance to take down a giant as a smaller back. Some of the things that he does, I think that he does really well, that allow him to kind of have that David narrative or that David role in that kind of a story. So,
but you don't worry. Do you worry about the fake football?
Not really, because I see Justice Hill winning as a running back in more ways that will be more common in the NFL than, say, like with Bryce Love or Miles Gaskin. So I'm not as worried about Justice Hill, even though he does play in a more spread out league in the Big 12. I see him in little instances where it's, you know, taking on contact, putting his foot in the ground, looking like he could be like a one cut guy. In certain kind of like zone blocking schemes and things like that. So I've seen glimpses that give me hope that this year I might see even more of it, because we talked about this too in the episode where we were talking about Justice Hill. There's no Mason Rudolph this year, no Marcel Aitman, no James Washington. So Mike Gundy's offense is going to look a lot different. I think it's going to have a lot of Justice Hill in it, not like it didn't before, but yeah. I think that this is a big year. Like him, his and David Montgomery's places in my rankings have a lot to do with, I think that I could see them both take leaps in their game tape to kind of convince me that they could be pretty decent running backs in the NFL.
I just think of Justice Hill compared to Nyheim Hines because they're both smaller backs. And I'm like, there's just no area of the game that I would take Hill over Hines. And Hines went in the fourth round.
Hines is faster.
Is faster. I think he's more explosive in general. He was definitely a better route runner. I mean, he played receiver. He was a better third down option. He was a better zone runner. Like, better runner between the tackles behind his pads. I don't know. And Hines went in the fourth round, like beginning of the fourth, but
I think Hines was a little underdrafted.
I agree. I had a third round grade.
But again, you know, like Hill being my RB3, depending on what his weight is, I mean, he's not going to get drafted before the third, fourth round anyways. Okay. So, I mean, maybe that's kind of a, this isn't a guy I'm
right. So we're giving the people an idea where we're at on this running back class when you say that, because he's your number three guy
so far. Yeah, going into the season,
right? And you're saying not a first round, not a second round right now, probably.
Right. Harris is my RB2. I like Harris a lot. And there was one of our listeners was tweeting at us earlier this week, and he was thinking that the CJ Anderson comp that you and I kind of talked about when we were talking about Damian Harris on Monday, I believe, he was saying we were saying good CJ Anderson, right? Like 2014, 2015 CJ Anderson.
Problem is, people don't think CJ Anderson is that good, but he is.
I know, but dude, 2014, 2015, CJ was averaging nearly 5 yards a carry in a committee.
Yeah.
And the efficiency continued to go up with that guy when he was in the right role there. And so, like, if you want to slap on a couple more carries on Harris, like in the NFL, like, okay, I thought CJ Anderson got underutilized in Denver.
Sure.
But when we say good CJ Anderson, or at least when I say it, that's a good running back. That's a good running back in the NFL. So
yeah, that's a, you know, if you're looking for a starting running back, that's like a late second, early third round type of guy, I think.
Right.
That's where Damian Harris is.
I'm in with Damian Harris being a second round running back.
Sure.
And then obviously my RB1. Rodney Anderson, the only running back who I see so far, and there's plenty of guys that we still have to watch, that could creep up into that round one, late round one conversation.
Yeah.
That's where I am on my five.
I am same as you with the top two, agree with everything you said. Anderson's the only guy that I see with a shot at round one. I know there's some people who are David Montgomery fans. He's my number three guy. Maybe I just need to watch more games. I thought as a receiver, that's why he's high.
You must hate this running back class.
I'm pretty down
because,
on it,
yeah. Because you are not about David Montgomery, and he was your
RB3. Like I am in some ways. I guess it's just he's again what we talked about yesterday. He's just such a strange prospect because he's this battering ram in certain areas of the field, and then just like nothing at the line of scrimmage. It just really kind of blew my mind. So, I mean, I still think as a receiver, as a third down guy, he can be really good. Like teach him a little more pass protection. None of these guys are particularly great in pass protection. He wasn't the worst. Of the group. So
who was the worst?
Oh man. Gaskin was pretty bad. Bryce Love's not good. No, Bryce Love will at least stand in there. Hill's pretty bad.
It's between Hill, Love, and Gaskin.
Yeah. I think Love is the best of those three. It's between Hill and Gaskin, I think. I think Love's actually not terrible. Harris wasn't good at all either in the games I watched. So anyway, none of them are good. Benny Snell is probably the best one, actually. We didn't even really... Oh, we did talk. We talked about him on Monday, yeah. He's actually probably the best one out of all these guys. But, yeah, Montgomery, to me, I guess I just... Maybe the vision and decisiveness comes a little bit better this season as a between-the-tackles runner. Maybe I need to watch more different games. I think I watched, like, three. I don't know. But it's hard to deny what he can do. But, like, there were some of his best plays are just so impressive, you know, and... So anyway, not loving any of these backs, I decided to make him number three. Bryce Love, number four. Again, I'm not going to say he can't be a running back in the NFL or anything. I think he can be.
No. But I can too, but you got to be realistic.
Is he going to be a feature back? No, he's always been a feature guy when he's produced. So like, it's hard when you're not going to get that many opportunities. You have to think like, is this a guy that can maximize every opportunity? Is he going to create on his own? You know, those kind of things. Is he going to be a receiving back? That's not been a big role for him at Stanford, you know? So there's a lot of questions about like, okay, how does he best fit into an offense? Because his usage just isn't going to be like it was in college. It's different now. And Justice Hill is number five. And, you know, I think that in some ways, Justice Hill might have better traits to lock into a role like what we were just talking about, you know, something that requires you to do some different things at the NFL level, like receiving and space play and things like that. On the other hand, I don't think he's good in pass protection at all, and I wish he had done more with his receptions last year. So I definitely think the potential is there for Hill to jump up, even to like maybe RB3 in this class. But as a pure runner, I'm just not very excited about Hill at all. Like, so that's just basic, and I don't even know that I'll have, I mean, top 100 grades. I don't know. We'll see with Montgomery, Love, Hill, Gaskin. You know, I think they all got a shot. We'll see how it goes. I mean, right now they would be, but as the closer we get to the class, it always kind of clarifies things a little bit too. So that's how my five would stack up right now. Again, we keep going. Rodney Anderson is, to me, I don't think it's even close, right?
Yeah. Rodney Anderson just, you know, you watch his film right off the bat, and what is he? What's his measurables? What's his official measurements?
He's like two. What is he? He's like 6 foot 220.
Okay, I was gonna say I think he's like 6 foot 6'1", 220 or something. Mm-hmm. So you see a guy who's 6'1", 220, and you're watching him with the burst and get down the sideline and beat people to the end zone and find his way through the tackles, be able to hit long runs, all that kinds of stuff, and then you see guys who are shorter and weigh 20 and 30 pounds less who like aren't as fast as him.
Yeah.
And it's hard to think that anybody close because there's nobody that I see that's got the size and speed combo that Anderson does. Now,
and
a couple of these guys
still
got
to do some things. I'm not completely sold on him as like a first rounder, but
sure.
The most promising of the group, I think. And I do worry. I mean, a lot of light boxes. Potential. Right. Yeah, I think
he's
so.
He's got the most potential.
A lot of defined space for him to run to up front.
Was there anybody who was like close to cracking your top five?
I would probably have Weber number five, to be honest. I've seen Travion Williams.
You
I've
mean
seen
six or
oh,
five?
Yeah, number six. Sorry, I've seen Demaria Crockett. I've seen Travion Williams. I've seen Aris Williams. Benny Snell again. I don't know, man. None of them get me excited, really. Like none of them.
Benny Snell at least does.
As
like
a short yardage guy?
He does what you think he's going to do, and he does it pretty well. He doesn't do much of, like, the other stuff. Yeah. You know, like, this is an upright runner who is super violent, who's going to hit contact hard, and there's a place for that. But, like, if you're over here watching Benny Snell tape, looking to see anything other than that, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, he just is super one-dimensional and not great tools, and I just wonder what the ceiling for him is in the NFL. I mean, there's a decent amount of guys who can play. There's just not a lot of guys who are going to be feature guys or great third down options. And really, if you're not one of those two things, I don't know, man. Like,
right.
You know, if you're not a feature guy that can be on the field for three downs, you know, then you're definitely not a first round guy. And if you're not a great receiving option, third down option, space, splash play type of guy, I don't know, man. They're, like, maybe in the third round, but you'd have to be like a pretty, you know, solid ceiling or solid floor type of guy to take in the third. I'm not just not taking any chances on running backs. Like, it's just, you know, not with a high pick. There's just way too many other important positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's way too many roles that are getting filled by guys that are specialized if they're not features. And so you have to have like a specialty if you're not a feature guy. And a lot of good college backs have gotten lost in the shuffle in the NFL because they couldn't catch the ball, they couldn't pass protect, they weren't dynamic in space, so there wasn't a game plan for them outside of being a workhorse type of back. And a lot of good backs have been on the sideline, Derrick Henry, for example, because they couldn't pass protect early in his career, and that was a big issue with him, and he wasn't a great option as a receiver, and that's where Murray was clearly better than him. So Murray was on the field a lot more, and even I think Murray was better until last year, and Murray stayed on the field just because Henry wasn't good enough to do those kind of things until late in the year. So again, you have to be like, if you aren't going to be the feature guy, or the well-rounded guy, then you got to have like some great niche. Like, and I just don't know if we're seeing that in this class right now. So that's kind of the reason for some of the hesitancy of slapping top 100 grades on guys, because
it makes it tough to rank running backs.
It does. Oh,
once
yeah.
you start talking about niches, because right. then, you know, we joked about this earlier in the podcast at the beginning, but like at that point, once you start to get into niche running backs, it's literally just about fit and where you land.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's it. It's just whoever is going to use you properly the most. Right. And that's why, you know, scouting and, you know, claiming wins and prospects and what you see and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fun. We all do it. I mean, it's part of the gig, and it's part of what makes the covering the draft fun. But I mean,
There's a lot that goes into it that's out of
right,
control.
Right, if you're being real about it, that's the reality of a lot of these guys, especially in the running back class, especially right. in that.
A lot of one of the guys that I wanted to get to that we didn't really get to was Caron Higdon from Michigan. And just watching All or Nothing, I'm intrigued by him. I think he could be a guy that vaults his way into this conversation too. I don't know if the tools are amazing, but he just seems like a back who knows what he's doing, runs hard, physical guy, enough explosiveness. So I'm interested in getting into more of his tape eventually as well. I know he's a name that's going to be thrown out in this class too. Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, a lot of listeners wanted us to try and get to him this week. We haven't yet, but I have a feeling we will during the season, and we'll be talking about him as well as some other guys. People always find their way into the conversation after the fact. It's one of the best mm-hmm. things about that final season before the draft is that players start popping up, names start popping up you never considered before, or you didn't see anything with before, and they put themselves right on your radar. So
yep,
it's all part of the fun. There's our top fives in the 2019 running back class, our preseason top fives. Tomorrow, we are with the Draft Dudes, our colleagues over at the Draft Network. Will be a lot of fun. We'll be talking with those guys. We'll be going AFC and NFC East, talking about second and third year players type of guys that we really need based on our pre-draft assessments. We really need those guys to step up this season. So until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.